He's been very active and informative on social media. Let's welcome in our old friend. It's Dr. Oz. Happy Easter. How are you?
Happy Easter, my friends. Social media is just a derivative. I tell you, I have an entire studio in my basement now. It's getting, no one's here, but just more and more machines, like robots taking over my life.
You know what? Around the holidays, I love seeing the posts from your daughter, Daphne. She posted something this week, the roasted salmon with spicy mayo. But you always have the family pictures. This year, we're all hunkered down alone.
Well, in our family, we've sort of divided up by age. So the older members of the family, my in-laws, for example, are completely sequestered away. No one gets close to them. Even if you're across the street, you don't go in. The grandkids, my kids, us, since we're all pretty healthy and don't have comorbidities, we just decided to stay in the same place. So it's a risk because if one person goes down, everyone goes down. However, it also makes it a bit more tolerable for the holidays. So we, and it's hard to socially distance yourself from a six-month-old.
So let me get this straight. So you're getting together with your family, Dr. Oz?
No, it's not. I'm not getting together with them. I'm with them. They're all around me.
Ah.
All the kids came home.
Okay.
They're actually working. So my son, who goes to college at Harvard, they disbanded.
Okay.
He does tech support.
Got it.
He helps run the cameras.
Right.
My wife does hair and makeup. Daphne does the quarantine kitchen. Other kids help with wardrobe. Everyone has a job.
Oh, my gosh. You put everybody to work. That is so funny. You're right. I've been watching, but I see your posts all the time. I love your posts. You posted something this week on Thursday saying this: many people with COVID-19 will have no symptoms at all, yet these asymptomatic patients can spread the virus to others. How do we know if we are asymptomatic or around people that are?
You don't. And that's why social distancing is so critical. We are of the belief that the real dangerous situations are not the person who's coughing and hacking and sneezing, because they know they're sick. They're trying to get away from you. You know they're sick. You want to get away from them. That's obvious. It's the person who comes up to you and says, "Hey, how you doing?" They feel great. You feel great. And one of you's sick. And unfortunately, when you give it to somebody else, they may not have the benign reaction you're having. So social distancing is not about being especially careful when you know they're in trouble. It's about always being careful. Here's the other reason it matters. If someone gets sick, and this is what the world's going to look like after May 1st when parts of the country begin opening. So when someone gets sick, we're going to have to notify everyone who was closer than 6 feet from them for more than 10 minutes. That's called a close contact. So if you have been exposed to somebody, you're going to have to quarantine yourself for 14 days, even if you have nothing wrong with you.
Oh, wow.
Even if nothing is ever going to show up in your body, we won't know that for 14 days. So guess what? You're out of work and bored, and it hurts 14 days by yourself. But if you've never been closer than 6 feet with someone for more than 10 minutes, unless it's your spouse or someone who's already always with you, right, then you can always say, "I was never closer than 6 feet for 10 minutes." Then it doesn't really matter if that person got infected or not. You're not going to get quarantined.
So do you think that May 1st they're going to lift the self-quarantine at home, especially in New York where you live?
I can't imagine lifting it in New York, but I could imagine lifting it in much of the country. I mean, New York is a unique case. We got hit very hard. We're the highest population density by 2 times. San Francisco is number 2, by the way. Most states and cities are just a tiny fraction of New York in terms of congestion and density. It's the elevators that got us, because it's like a cesspool of virus.
Yeah.
Someone coughs in there, and then you can't, you know, who's going to walk up 72 flights? You can't do it. So most cities have, you know, 5 flights, and the elevator's not that long of a ride, and you can walk most, especially for the lower floor. So it's not as much of a problem. And then the public bathrooms, because in New York, you know, their bathrooms are far in between.
Right.
So they kept on getting us infected. But most of the country will be able to be, I believe, slowly. Listen, this is major surgery. We pulled the emergency brake on America. Now, you don't go right from the operating room to a discharge home. You got to go to the recovery room first, right?
Right, right.
So we're going to the recovery room now. We're going to spend a little time there to work out the kinks. How do we do social distancing right when you're not forced to do it? How do you manage the fact that people who are contaminated or infected have got to be quarantined away without ruining their livelihood and all their families? We got to sort of figure out, if you don't have enough testing, although it's getting closer, I think we have, you know, if you have 750,000 tests a week, we could keep up with the need for testing. And that's sort of where we are right now. So we're getting close.
Well, I think it's interesting that we're all self-quarantined, but when we need milk and eggs, we'll go out to the grocery store and hang out with other people.
Well, I don't know how it is in your family, Pete, but in my family, one volunteer goes out.
Mm-hmm.
They wear a mask and gloves. They don't talk to anybody. They don't pass go. They don't collect $200. They go there. They pick up what they need to pick up, and then they bring it back home. And if we need to pick it up for somebody else, we'll do that on the way and sort of drop it without touching them, without seeing them. That actually has worked okay, but, you know, who knows? There's definitely risks. The other thing is, we send young, healthy kids. out there.
Yeah.
So that if they get the virus, statistically, if you're like my son Oliver's, he just turned 20, but 20 and under, those kids just don't have any problems. I mean, it's just so, so rare that they have a problem with the virus. I mean, literally, I've heard of every case that we think has died with the virus. We're not even sure they died from the virus,
yeah,
right? That's
right.
Very different than my in-laws who are 80. If they go out, yeah, there's a good chance if they get the virus, we'll be babysitting them in the ICU for a couple weeks.
I don't mean to laugh, but I feel bad for Oliver. All right, we're out of milk. Oliver, get going.
Just right down. Well, isn't that what young men have always done? Like, great. My father was of this in Second World War age, right? They stormed Normandy.
Wow.
Right? We're asking the kids to sit at home and wash their hands and go shopping once in a while. So it's risky, but not at the same level. But on the other hand, it defines their generation. Oliver wrote a nice op-ed in one of the Washington papers talking about the fact that this is where they get to shine. I mean, we're not going to ask them for big things in the future. We need them now.
Right. I agree 100%. But in my house, the grocery stores in Chicago open at 6 a.m. I'm out the door at 5:40. So right at 6, I run in, get everything done before 6:35. I'm back at home.
Smart. And I think it's good for older people, too, because their clocks are shifted differently. And I think when the country reopens, older folks are going to have to be kept on lockdown. We're not going to allow older people to risk themselves because we just can't afford to have ICUs filled with people who are frail. And so over time, it'll get more comfortable. But that's the key determinant. Do you have enough ICU beds? And is it worth the risk to a person that you love dearly going out? Why don't you go shopping for them?
Absolutely. My mother, 85, I talked to her this morning on the way to work, and she is the woman that's never been sick her entire life. However, we finally got her to stay at home, and now she understands, and she's sending people to the grocery store for her.
Wisely done. I'll tell you the other reason for this. People are probably out there saying, that's overkill. What does that guy know? But here's the reality. Let's just say Easter, you're not together, right? Mm-hmm. Even though you pay the price. So next Wednesday, she gets sniffles. She doesn't have COVID-19 because she hasn't gone out. She didn't see you guys. But if she has sniffles a couple of days after seeing you for Easter, you're going to be thinking she's got COVID-19. All of a sudden, the entire management shifts. All the anxiety, the fretting around. So, 9 out of 10 tests that have been done outside of New York have been negative. Most people think they have it, but they don't. And the ones that do have it don't even know it. So I'd rather just avoid the possibilities or all that anxiety. That's 100% benefit. The fact that you may not get the virus, that's a theoretical benefit, but it exists.
We're talking with Dr. Oz. I have so many questions for you. I want to ask you about New York City. They're talking about thousands of New York City COVID-19 patients are being treated with the anti-malarial drug. Is that working? And the Z-Pak?
We don't know for sure if it's working, but I had a very interesting communication from France this morning. Didier Raoult, the famous infectious disease specialist, iconic figure there, met with President Macron yesterday, and it's their leader, and 3.5 hours, and presented this data. He sent the data to us this morning, and I analyzed it, and I got to say, it's 1,061 patients, so it's not a small gathering. He uses that drug you just mentioned, the malaria drug, and with azithromax, Z-Pak, and he argues that it's helping his patients get rid of the virus faster. It's helping them to improve clinically. He had 5 deaths. And 10 people went to the ICU from the 1,061 people that he managed. And he actually noticed a couple other things. One was that people on blood pressure medications did not do as well. And that's an important clue to us because it might be that either the fact that you're on a blood pressure medication is an issue, especially African-Americans have that problem.
Right.
Or the blood pressure medication itself might be predisposing you to issues once you get the virus. We don't know, but it's worth exploring it. And I think doctors are going to revisit that question, and we're going to do a show on that. And also, we're talking about gender, because men in many parts of the world are dying twice as frequently as women. So what gives? What's the difference? And how come men are so darn frail in the face of this virus?
Is there a correlation between people that have COVID-19 and people that haven't had their flu shots?
No. Except if you've had the flu shot, if you get sick, it's probably not the flu. It could be, but it's probably not. So it makes you more concerned that you've got COVID-19. But if you haven't had the flu shot and you get sick, you have no idea. So.
Primatene Mist tablets. Why are people gobbling these up?
I have no idea. I mean, people get all these rumors get started. It's true. I mean, there's a lot of people desperately looking for solutions. In desperation, people will do things.
Right.
I'm not even sure that it's badly, it's not motivated for ill will. It's just misguided sometimes. I frankly don't know. There might be some magic, a remarkable benefit. I just haven't seen it yet.
What about Tylenol? Should I stock up on Tylenol?
The data around this is very confusing. The World Health Organization says Motrin is just as good, but there was some theoretical reasons why Motrin could be a problem, and the French therefore were recommending that we take acetaminophen, which is Tylenol. It doesn't frankly matter. But I could say one thing that's pretty clear. Don't overtreat the fever. A little bit of fever is probably good for killing the virus, and it won't hurt you. So I don't usually treat our kids when they have fevers until they're 101.
Oh, wow. You're recommending wearing a mask in public, as is everyone, including the CDC. Do we wear safety glasses over our eyes just in case someone sneezes?
I think that's a lot less likely, and at some point you got to draw a line. I just don't think the eyes are a major portal of entry. They're possible. You do express virus in the eyes once you're infected, but if you have a shield on your mask, that's even better. They come together, and when we have enough of them, you'll do that. And it's not wrong to do it. If you can put reading glasses on or sunglasses, makes sense. But I would not go out because you don't have glasses.
Got it. Love it, Dr. Oz. Thank you so much for your time, and happy Easter.
Stay well. Take care.